As believers, Christ is our rock. He is our hope and our future, and therefore should be the foundation of all that we do. He also must be at the center of our marriages. If we want to have the loving, wonderful marriage that God designed for us to have, that marriage that we all long for. But how do we do this? What are the practical steps that we can take to put God in His rightful place? Today, I have four steps for you that will not only help you to put Christ at the center of your marriage, but also to help you work towards that blessed relationship with your husband that God designed for you to have. Let's get started. Welcome to the Faith Lived Out podcast. Are you wanting a loving Christian marriage but are unsure what that looks like or how to get it? Do you have fears about becoming a submissive wife, afraid that you'll lose your identity or become a doormat? Do you have thoughts that maybe you're doing this whole wife and marriage thing all wrong and you want to know how to do it right, to stop worrying all the time, and to learn how to truly put your faith and trust in the Lord? Hey girl, I'm Nancy Adamson, wife, mom, and Grammy to seven sweet babies, Christian mentor, Bible teacher, speaker, and women's ministry leader. I see you and I get you because I've been there, and I'm here to share with you what God has taught me on how to have a loving biblical marriage and what the true meaning of being a submissive wife really looks like. We'll also chat about how to find wisdom and truth for life's challenging questions in His Word, how to apply God's truth to our lives, and to put the cares and concerns that are on your heart safely in the Father's hands. So if you're ready to learn how to live out your faith every day and follow the amazing plan that God has for your marriage, grab your coffee, pull up a chair next to mine, and let's get started. Hey girls, I just wanted to remind you that the mentoring calls are now available. You know, it can be really difficult to talk to family or friends about your marriage and about what is happening in your home. And I just want you to know that this is a safe place for you to come and to talk to me to receive compassionate, biblical mentoring on whatever area it is that you're having a hard time with in your marriage. You know, there have been ladies who have taken advantage of this and they've been very grateful and it's been very helpful for them to be able to maybe see things in a little bit different light, a little bit different mindset. And so if you are struggling with something in some area, then I encourage you to go to the website at faithlivedout.com and just click under the mentoring call tab and you'll see all the information about it. Or there is also a link in the show notes that you can go to. But if you are struggling in an area, if you need someone to talk to be able to give you some biblical insight, then please give me a call and I would love to talk to you. All right, so then on to today's topic, which is a Christ-centered marriage. If we want to have that loving relationship that God designed for us to have, He designed for marriage to be, you know that one where the husband loves his wife as Christ loves the church, and the wife is submissive and respectful to her husband, as well as the children, they are raised in the admonition of the Lord. If we want this kind of family life, then we must put Christ at the center of our marriage. And this doesn't just happen. We have to make a conscious effort to take the necessary steps to put Him in His rightful place, both in our own heart and then also in the relationship with our husband. So then what are the steps that we need to take? Well, step one is just that you each put God first in your individual lives. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So this is what we must do, is we must put God first in His ways and His will and what He wants for us. As each of you put God first in your life, you become more like-minded with Christ. And as you each become more like-minded with Christ and become the same in that way, then you also become more like-minded with one another. And this has been described as in a triangle. And so I want you to imagine a triangle for a moment with the one point at the top and the two points at the bottom, and put yourself on one side, like put yourself on the right side of the triangle, and put your husband on the left side on the bottom of the triangle, and put God at the top. Now, as each of you put Christ first in your life and you grow in the Lord and you grow in his knowledge and his wisdom and his character and what he has for you and what he wants for you, then as you each do that and you grow closer to the Lord, you're also growing closer to one another. And so that is the goal here. As we put Christ in the center of our marriage, that is what the goal is, and that's what it is that we're trying to do. And to do this, we must apply God's biblical principles to our life. That is the first thing. In Joshua 1:8, it tells us, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So many of us, we want this good success of a happy marriage. But are we doing what God requires for us to have it? Are we seeking God's word and his direction for the decisions that we make? How you treat each other in your marriage? What your priorities are in your life? Is God's word your instruction and your guide to the way that you live your life? In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So it tells us here that God's word is given to us for reproof, for correction. So it's to correct our wrong thinking. You know, we all have wrong expectations. We all have wrong thoughts about God. And as we learn about God, as we learn about his word, then we realize what those wrong things were, and God corrects us and puts us on the right path. And then it's also for our instruction in righteousness. There are things that we don't know that we should be doing or should not be doing, or how to handle a situation, or how to treat our husbands, or how our husbands are to treat their wives. So it is instruction for us to know how to live this life. So in order to do this, in order to know what the corrections are, in order to know what the instructions are, then we are to study the Word of God, to learn the knowledge and his wisdom that is written for us, and apply that wisdom to our lives, in making changes to our lives to become more like Christ. In many ways, God tells us to do the opposite of what the world says. The world tells us to put yourself first and to love yourself, but God says to be selfless and to put others first. The world will tell you to obtain all that you can. Make sure that you work for yourself and you gain what you need to gain, and you take care of it and you hold on to it. But God tells us to be generous and to give it all away. The world tells us to love those who love you. If they don't love you, then push them aside. But God tells us to love our enemies. And the world would tell us to exalt ourselves. It's all about me. That's what social media is all about, is look at me. But the Lord tells us to humble ourselves and to exalt God. So see, there's a lot here in God's word that we need to learn as to what is different in what the world tells us and what we've grown up with. In a lot of cases, this is what I grew up with, was all the worldly view of things. And then I had to learn by God's instruction and his wisdom, his ways of living my life. This is why we read in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are not to take our lessons from the world or to seek worldly counsel through self-help books or social media and the like, but to seek God's wisdom and direction for our lives. And we can only do this for ourselves. We can't make our husbands do this any more than they could make us do it. Obedience to God and following his word for your life comes from your heart. And you can't make someone else have that desire to put God first in their lives. We can only do this for ourselves. If your husband isn't following the Lord in his decision-making or his actions, don't let that affect your walk with Christ. You are responsible for you. So you continue to learn and to follow the instruction given in God's word, and then pray for your husband. Pray for God to do a work in his heart and for God to draw him to himself and give him the desire to become more like Christ. Oftentimes we tend to get in the way of God when we talk to our husbands about God all the time, or we're leaving those scriptures everywhere, or constantly encouraging them to do godly things. And we do often get in God's way when we're doing this kind of thing. We need to be careful that we are only doing it when we are led by the Lord to do so, and that we allow God to do the work. He is so, so much better at it than we are anyway. So first step is that you each put God first in your individual lives. And then the second step is to follow God's design for the marriage relationship. Our God is a God of order. And if we don't have order, then we have discord and strife and chaos. And for some of you who are having a struggle in being submissive or being respectful to your husband, you know what this discord and strife looks like because you're living it in your family. In God's design for marriage, the husband is the leader who loves his wife as himself and as Christ loves the church. And we read this in Ephesians 5, 22 through 25, and it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." So in God's order for the family, the husband is the head of the household as the leader, and he loves his wife the way that Christ loves the church. And ladies, Christ died for the church. That's an enormous amount of love. And the husband has the responsibility to lead his family in a godly manner and in the ways and the teachings of the Lord. And this is something that he will be held accountable for to God at the judgment seat of Christ. And then the wife is to be submissive and to respect her husband. The wife is to come under the submissive authority of her husband. Not that she can't have her own voice or have her own opinion. You certainly should be sharing with your husband your helpful knowledge and your insight that you have, but do so with love and respect, knowing that your husband has the final decision. Then in Ephesians 5:33, we read, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This time, it's to love them as much as they love themselves, meaning that the same care and attention that a man would give to himself should also be given to his wife. And then in this verse, the wives are told to respect their husbands. Your husband wants you to respect him as much or more than he wants you to love him. As wives, we don't really get this because we want and need to be loved. But a man wants to be respected, to respect their authority, to respect their decisions, and to show that respect that you have for them in front of others by not arguing or putting them down or this kind of thing. And then for both the husband and the wife, the family unit must be the priority. In Ephesians 5:30 through 31, we find, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." The decisions that are made and the actions that are taken are to be for the good of your family first. We are not to put our parents, our grandparents, our siblings, or anyone else before our husbands or before our kids. In following their advice or maybe what direction they think that we should take for our lives, or in putting their wants and desires over the wants, desires, or needs of our own family. Our family comes first. So step one was to put God first in your individual lives. Step two is to follow God's design for your marriage relationship. And then now step three is the husband leads the family as Christ leads the church. Now, ladies, I'm not here to teach men how to be godly husbands. That's not my job. But I do want to bring this up because I know that some of you struggle with how your husband leads the family. In your eyes, you would like to see him do it differently and maybe do it better than what he's doing right now. And so let's take a look at what Scripture says about how a godly man is to lead his family. As we read earlier, he is to lead the family as Christ leads the church. And this would be to have the same headship and authority as well as the same sacrificial love that Christ has for his church. Now, before you get all up in arms thinking, well, my husband doesn't do that, remember, this is a tall order for a human being and goes against everything that we are taught in this world. It goes against our own sinful nature. So give your husband some grace as he grows in the Lord in this and grows in his role as a husband. We need the same grace as we grow in our roles as a wife. You know, I've said this, I don't know how many times now, but none of us walk down the aisle knowing how to be godly husbands and wives. It is something that is learned over time. So give your husband some grace in this as well. There are only a few scriptures that give us any detail as to how a man is to lead his family. In 1 Timothy 3:4, we're going to read this, and this is actually a prerequisite for being an elder or a deacon, but it gives us some insight as to how a family is to be led. And it says, "One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence." So this is meaning that his wife is submissive and respectful to him and that his children are not unruly and disruptive, but rather they are disciplined and also respectful. They are being taught to behave in a Christ-like manner. In Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21, we find where the Christian home is described in these verses. And it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So here there are instructions for each member of the family and that wives are to submit to their own husbands in allowing them to have that authority and to have that headship and for us to submit under them. And then the husbands are to love their wives and to not be bitter to them. So that is their priority to us and their instruction from God to us. Children are to obey their parents. And mind you, this says parents. So it should be both mom and dad that the kids are respecting and obeying. And if this isn't happening, then a discussion needs to get made. And, you know, if you see that your kids don't respect their dad, then it's really your job to say, hey, that's your dad, and you need to learn to respect him, whether you like what he does or not, but you still need to learn to respect him. And then fathers are not to provoke their children because it does make them discouraged, as Scripture says. So that is the instruction that we're given as a Christian home. And these verses tell us this, and they tell us what the behavior should be to submit and to love and to obey and to not provoke. However, it doesn't give us specifics. It doesn't give us day-to-day instructions on how to do this, on how we live this out. And this is left up to the individual person as to what this looks like in their life. Think of it this way. We just talked about you becoming more like Christ and in learning God's precepts and how to apply them to your life. Joshua told us to meditate in God's word that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And then in Romans, we read not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But neither of these verses tell us what this specifically looks like in our everyday lives. Like, how do we go about meditating or renewing our minds as individuals? Well, in this, we are given the freedom to each do it in our own way. So we can do it in an individual Bible study or with a group Bible study. We can say our prayers or we can write them out in a journal and use prompts. We can start our day with a quiet time, or we can end our day, or we can do it at lunchtime, or whenever it fits within our schedule and works for us. It's all by personal preference and how God leads for us and what works for us in a particular time in a particular season. I happen to get up at 5 a.m. to have my quiet time with the Lord. And some of you are going, oh, heavens no, that's not what I want to do. And that's fine, because we all have that freedom to be able to study God's word and to spend that quiet time with Him however we desire to do so. And the same is true for our husbands and in how they lead the family. Each man is going to lead his family differently. It's not going to be the same. Some are going to pray with their families every day. Some are going to pray only at dinner time. Some are going to pray with their kids before they go to bed. And some are not going to necessarily pray with them on any regular basis at all. It just depends. And some will choose to be a leader in the house by doing a Bible study with his wife, or maybe doing a study with the whole family. And some will choose to lead by being an example and giving godly advice when it's necessary. It is not a requirement for a man to pray with his family every day, to be leading his family in a Bible study, or to even pray with you every day in order to fill the role of a godly leader for his home. Is it nice to do these things? Absolutely. But is he ungodly or not doing the right thing by not doing it? No, not necessarily. There are actually no scriptures that instruct a man as to what this looks like in his daily life. So as wives, we should not be deciding for our husbands how they should lead the family, what they should be doing or not doing. We should not be comparing our husbands to someone else's and looking down on them because they don't do or lead in the way that we think that they should or the way that somebody else does. I know couples that, even in a group setting, they will hold hands when they pray or they kiss after they say amen. And as women, we tend to look at that and go, oh, how sweet. I wish my husband would do that. But that's just not your husband. And it doesn't mean that just because you see it in somebody else, it needs to be done in your marriage as well. I'm sure there are other things that your husband does that are endearing and caring and show his faithfulness. It doesn't have to be the same as what you see in another marriage. And we should not be nagging them to lead them in the way that we think that they should. Asking them, why don't you have a regular prayer time with the family? Or why don't you pray with the kids at bedtime? Or insisting that they lead a family Bible study. Let him lead the family in his own way. I can tell you that my husband didn't do any of these things while my kids were growing up. And we don't do them now. He didn't lead a Bible study at home. He didn't pray with the kids on a regular basis. Didn't come to me and pray with me on a regular basis. However, he did make sure that attending church every Sunday was a priority in our home. And he led by example, by serving in the church and teaching Sunday school. My kids know in whom their father believes and where he draws his strength from and his guidance from. And they were taught by example to do the same. And this may change over time for your husband. As your husband grows in the Lord and the Lord impresses upon him to maybe have a stronger prayer life, to maybe have a stronger Bible study time, that kind of thing, then it may change. And God may grow him into do something different. Just recently, for some reason that is completely unbeknownst to me, but my husband has initiated for us to pray together before we set out on a journey with our trailer. We have a fifth wheel that we travel and we camp in. And all of a sudden, we went to leave, you know, like last month or so, and he prayed with me and said, and started like every morning when we would go to leave and to go out on a journey. Before he actually took off, he would stop and grab my hand and say, let's pray. And I'm like, okay, well, that's what we're doing now, you know, and that's great. And I'm going along with it and I love it. But, you know, it's not because I prompted him to. It's not because I was nagging him or telling him, but God prompted him to for whatever reason. And, you know, there are sometimes that he would get in the truck and we would start to go and I'd go, oh, hey, wait a minute. We need to pray. And he's like, oh, yep, let's pray. You know, and so I would help to remind him because, you know, even when God tells us to do something new, to follow him and to pray and to follow his leading and what he's asking us to do, we're still people. We're still human and we forget. So if your husband does this and he forgets, don't go, oh, well, look, that didn't last very long. But encourage him. Say, hey, wait, we forgot to pray. And I'll pray today. You know, there were some times that I would do that too. And I would say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and pray. You drive and I got this. So we, you know, the Lord works in our husbands to change them and to grow them in the same way that he does with us. And this is not to say that we can't make any suggestions at all. We certainly can, but we're not to hold it against them if they don't take our advice or if they choose to do something different. If you have some kind of idea of what you would like your husband to do, then maybe even just start doing it. You know, don't put the change on him that I wish you would do this. You know, these couples that I talked about that hold hands when they pray or kiss when they say amen, I don't know who started it. I don't know if it was the husband or the wife. They're just friends of mine and that's what they do. And so maybe it was the wife. And if that's something that you want to see and something that you want to cultivate in your relationship with your husband, then go for it. Don't wait for him to take the lead on that. All right, so we've been through the first three steps in putting God first in your individual life and then in following God's design for your marriage relationship. We just talked about the husband leads the family as Christ leads the church, but please have him do it his way. And then step number four is the wife creates a Christ-centered home. And there's four ways that we can do this, ladies. And the first one is with personal study. Making time for personal study and reflection and prayer, making this a priority in your life. And even if you have to set the kids down to say, hey, when mommy's sitting right here and she's doing her prayer time or doing her Bible study, you need to play with this. You need to, you know, go with the Legos and, you know, whatever it is. But that actually is a great example for them. And this is a priority for you, and learning God's word is a priority for you. So make sure that you have some kind of time set aside, preferably every day, but at least a few times a week, to have that personal study and reflection and prayer time. You can do a prayer journal, and they have some that have great prompts in them now to be able to help you with that. You can do a personal Bible study in a book that you want to study, maybe a book of the Bible that you want to read and to go through. You can be a part of a group Bible study, and then in your time at home, you're doing that homework for that study. Reading a Christian book and something that's going to help you grow in the Lord, or listening to praise music or sermons or a biblical podcast like this one. Any of these things help you to grow in the Lord and to help you to be able to create that Christ-centered home. However you want to do it is fine, just so that you are learning more about Christ in following the teachings of his word and in putting your faith and trust in him. So then the second thing is to strive to be an example of Christ-likeness to your family, displaying submissiveness and respect to your husband in not arguing with him, not putting him down, but being that example of submissiveness and being that example of love and respect to him at all times. And then in having a gentle and quiet spirit, promoting peace in your home. What is it that you can do that is going to bring peace to your husband, that's going to bring peace to your kids, that you can organize your days so that when your husband comes home, the house is not in chaos, but it is settled and dinner is ready and, you know, things are settled when he comes home and he comes home to a happy, peaceful place and not something that is full of strife and chaos. And then working towards having a Christ-like character, one that is not of the world. You know, those things that we talked about in the, you know, the self-love and I need to gather for myself and that it's all about me. But instead, being selfless, being generous in giving to others, loving our enemies, and exalting God rather than ourselves. These are all Christ-like characteristics that we can portray within our family and they bring our family peace, and they bring our family that Christ example that we teach to our kids and that we also put before our husbands and help them see what that Christ-like example is. And then third, aid in the training of your children and training them up in the Lord. The scriptures that are given regarding raising our kids, they're not just for dads, but they're for both parents. As a matter of fact, it's for all believers to teach and to talk the things of God to all the children who are around them. This includes not only your own children, but the neighbor kids, the grandkids, the kids at church, the kids that your own kids play sports with or have around the house. You know, Timothy in the Bible was a young man that Paul was training up to be a pastor. And Timothy's father was Greek, so he didn't know all of the Jewish heritage or the teachings, but his mother and his grandmother were Jewish, and so they taught him. And we read in 2 Timothy 1:5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you." This is the legacy that we leave behind, ladies, in what we teach our kids and our grandkids and the other children who are around us, in teaching them by example the faith that we have with our Christ-like character, or in guiding them and directing them and helping them to make decisions and to treat other people the way that God calls us to. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Deuteronomy 6:6-7 tells us, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So as we interact with our kids on a daily basis, we can be teaching them the same things that we discussed that we need to learn to help us transform their minds away from the things of this world and towards the things of God. And know too that, you know, if there's a study or a book or something like that that you think that your kids would benefit from, you know, it's not your husband who has to be the one to read it to them or to lead them in this. You can do this as well. A lot of times we have a lot more time with our kids than our husband does. And so, you know, don't necessarily leave it up to him to do it and say, "Hey, I want you to do this book with them," but go ahead and do it yourself. Teach your kids about the Lord. And then the last one is to be an encouragement to your husband. Proverbs 31:10-12 tells us, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." Help to bring Christ to the center of your marriage by being the kind of wife your husband can trust in, by having a heart for him and to lift him up in with a word of encouragement when it's needed. You know, recently my husband and I were both struggling and we were worrying about something and you know, we kept giving it to God and then trying to take it right back and seeing how we could fix it. And we were both stressing over it. And I knew that we were both doing this. And I went to the Lord. I'm like, "Lord, how do I not worry about this? How do I not keep taking it back?" And he reminded me of Matthew, where it says to seek him first. And we talked about this verse earlier, and that he is faithful to take care of us. And he reminded me that, you know, I can not worry about tomorrow. Like, I need to worry about today, but I don't need to worry about tomorrow because God's going to take care of tomorrow. And so I just started to look at what is happening today that I need to take care of and not look about what else may happen in the future. And since I knew that my husband was struggling with some of these same feelings, I went to him and I said, "Hey, read this scripture." And I did. I made him read it. I didn't just tell him, because there's power in that, in reading God's word, and comfort in that. And so I had him read it, and then we discussed it. We discussed what the scripture said to us, what the promises are, and how we were going to apply that to our situation. And then we prayed together. And, you know, we've talked before about the strong lifting up the weak. And there will be times when your husband is weak in his faith and he needs you to come alongside of him and to lift him up and to pray with him and to show him scripture and encourage him. And so don't be shy about doing that. But that's a part of making Christ the center of your home. So ladies, as you can probably tell, all of this is going to take time. Like, this isn't something that you're going to be able to apply each one of these things like right now today. Nobody expects you to. God doesn't expect you to. So like, give yourself some grace. It is going to take time to learn God's ways and to practice them and to apply them to your life. I am going to go through each one of these steps again, just briefly. And as I do, I want you to be in prayer and saying, Lord, pick one or two items for me that you want me to focus on, that you want to have me put you at the center of my marriage and in the center of my life. What are the things that I need to do to make changes? Here they are. Step one was that each of you would put God first in your life, that you would seek God's word and directions for the decisions that you make in how you treat each other, what your priorities are in your life, how you make your decisions in your family. Step two was following God's design for marriage, and that the husband loves his wife as himself and as Christ loves the church. And then the wife is to be submissive and to respect her husband. And then for both the husband and the wife to make sure that the family unit is the priority above all other family members. And then step three was that the husband leads his family, but he leads it his own way, striving to love and lead his wife as Christ does the church, and to teach his children to behave in a Christ-like manner. And then step four is that the wife creates a Christ-centered home. Through personal study, she strives to be an example of the Christ-likeness to her family. She aids in training up her children in the admonition of the Lord, and she is an encouragement to her husband. So what is it, ladies? What is it that God is calling you to focus on today? And whatever it is, you know, go back and listen to that section of the episode and kind of remind yourself, maybe make some notes of what it is. How are you going to think differently? How are you going to act differently? What things are you going to do different based on the biblical knowledge that you now have? Write those things down. Maybe even make a little plan as to what it is that you're going to do and how you're going to change things. You know, we cannot do the same thing every day and expect different results. Change needs to happen, and it can start with you. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray that God has used this episode to bless and inspire you to live out your faith in Him. If it has, please do me a huge favor by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way that I know if you like the show, and you will be helping others to find this podcast and be lifted up by the Word of God. Is there someone who came to mind while you were listening today and you said, "Ooh, she needs to hear this"? Well, then send her the link so she can be encouraged too. Are you in the Dallas area and looking for a fresh new speaker to add excitement to your next luncheon, women's retreat, or other women's event? Then drop me a note at nancy@faithlivedout.com and let's chat about it. That's Nancy, N-A-N-C-I, at faithlivedout.com. I would love to come and meet with you and the ladies in your group. You're also welcome to visit the website at faithlivedout.com. For more information, blog posts, journaling ideas, and free printables, or become a part of our little community of believers by joining the Faith Lived Out community group on Facebook, where you can join together with other faith-led wives and moms just like you. Links to these areas and the scripture references used in today's episode are in the show notes. Ladies, thank you again for listening today, and know that I am praying for God to be with you as you learn to trust in Him more and to live out your faith every day. God bless you, and see you on the next episode.